Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, all. Welcome. We said a prayer for
Sorry, welcome to the show. I have my guest on the line. Hello,
Hi. Yes, it's Jackie.
Hi, sorry, a couple of technical difficulties. I apologize for the delay.
No worries.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming on. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Do you know this is your third time on my show? You're an exclusive company.
You're
the only person
Excellent.
That's been on three times.
That's good.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on and always giving time to my audience. I'll try not to keep you too long. I know you have prior engagements for tonight.
Yeah, I do. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
My pleasure. I want to talk about your book because I was actually supposed to have you on sometime in January, but again, scheduling conflicts and me working in D.C. kind of inhibited that. But I want to talk about your book. Tell us about what you did to what you put into it. Tell us, I think that adding the DVD to it, which is in the back of the book, if people want to go to the store and make sure that when they buy the book, to make sure the DVD is in there because content is king, and not only the content in the book, but they can take the DVD wherever they want. Tell us more about this book that you put together.
Well, you're right. We really try to put together a really useful resource. As a mother of two young children, I understand that it needs to be useful if you want to buy it because it has to have a purpose. And so we really compiled 25 essential documents and speeches from our nation's history. And then to your point, in addition to that, we have a list of all the presidents, all the first ladies, the Supreme Court justices, a 400-event timeline. And as you pointed out, we also have the free DVD. And I'll tell you a funny story. Dad did the foreword for my book, and after he actually got the final book in his hand, he'd already read it, and he did the foreword, but then he got the final in his hand, and he called me. He goes, "Oh, my gosh, there's this free DVD in back. That's incredible." And so to your point, not only we really do have an extraordinary amount of content, and additionally, because it's divided into the 25 documents and speeches, and I do an introduction for each one, it's easy to pick it up and read one if you want, if you don't, have to have a little bit of time, or to read them all, but it's really easy to access the information, and it does include all the original documents and speeches.
Wonderful. Now, I think books like this and compilations and comprehensive collections such as this and Benjamin Weicker, who another terrific author who was published by Regnery, which is your publisher, he also put together a book of 10 essential must-reads for conservatives. But this is not just for conservatives. This is for essential Americans. So you have a whole array of different things, not just politicians, but as you mentioned, Supreme Court justices and people like that. Out of all the speeches and the collections and the words and the political jargon and the rhetoric and everything that's in this book, what is your favorite thing? What sticks out to you when or at least when you were putting it together, what sent the chill down your spine?
That's a great question because we do cover the whole, continuum. I start with Patrick Henry and his Give Me Liberty, Give Me Death speech, and then I go all the way through our history, and then I end with the George W. Bush speech after 9/11 on the floor of the House of Representatives, and I end with that one. So it takes us all the way through the history, but my personal favorite one is Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address. And I do have, for 25 speeches, I do have quite a bit of Lincoln. I have his first and second inaugural, his Gettysburg Address, and the Emancipation Proclamation. But you really can't understand our country, the United States, without understanding how we transitioned, how we made it through the Civil War as a country, and how it, as terrible as it was the unification and the saving of the Union that made us who we are today. But his second inaugural address is so beautiful because it's not very long, but you can picture it, and I give the introduction. He's standing in front of the Capitol. At the time of his first inaugural, it was half built because they were rebuilding the dome. At the time of this inaugural, it was finished. The war was all but done, so it's pretty evident that the North was going to win. And he addressed the crowd, and as he stepped up to the podium, and it was a cloudy, kind of overcast day, as he stepped up to the podium, the clouds broke and the sun came through. So if you can imagine that scene where you had the sun now shining down on Abraham Lincoln, he gives this address that really, in the content, you can see how hard the Civil War was for him. You could see how much he changed as a person and how faithful he was and how he realized he was just an instrument in the hand of God.
Now, of all the people and all the great figures that are in this book, and there, again, their words and everything that is in the book. Would Abraham Lincoln be the guy that you would want, you know, if you had the opportunity to resurrect a dead or meet the living? Who would you want to meet, and what would you ask them?
Yeah, I think either Abraham Lincoln, because he did, it was such a transitional time for our nation, and you know, clearly other things could have happened and we could have split in two as a nation or in many pieces. I think the other one that I think really intrigues me, and he's, and partly because he's not, he's well known, he has notoriety, and that's Patrick Henry. But when you really get to definitive biographies about him, there's not that much written about him. In fact, the speech that was included, the one that has the quote, "Give me liberty or give me death," there's no actual transcript of this particular speech. So what we included was another person's recollection of the speech. So for someone who is so widely quoted, he's not that well known in terms of who he really is. So he would be interesting. And the other reason he's interesting is we have to remember, and I do this in the introductions, I explain what was happening at the time of the event, who was involved, why was it important. And we have to remember that at the time of this speech that it was not clear that we would definitely go to war with Britain. Okay, so at this time we were still part of, still part of England. We had these issues with taxes. We weren't very happy, but there was still this overwhelming, prevailing belief that we could work it out, that things could be worked out without war. And his speech was really pivotal because this was the first time it was clearly noted that we had to go to war, that literally, give me liberty or give me death. So it really is a pivotal role.
Now, this was your second book, correct? The first one was The Five Principles, which I have, and you kindly signed for me, and I can't read it as a result of you.
You can read it. But, yes, this is my second book. And it's interesting because I've done quite a few speeches on both of them. And even though The Five Principles for a Successful Life is more of a individual book about people, it talks about dreaming big, work hard, learn every day, enjoy life, and be true to yourself, those same principles, I think, can really be applied to where we are as a country because, you know, without dreaming big, Patrick Henry would have never had that speech. You know, so I think a lot of these principles are tied up in the same. And, again, I think of the essential American as telling the stories of our nation just like we would tell family stories.
Now, that's a perfect segue, and I appreciate you you helping me with that. The country as a whole right now, how would you diagnose, if you were a doctor, put your stethoscope on, get your notepad out, how would you diagnose the situation in America? Do you think it's in a depression stage where it doesn't know, you know, one day it's happy, one day it's upset, you know, good news, bad news, and it just doesn't know which way to pull itself? Or do you just think that we have the flu and we just need, you know, a little bit of time to rest and gather our thoughts, lay down a little bit and reflect on, you know, how we got the flu?
Yeah, that is a very interesting. I've never thought of that of thinking of it in that way, that analogy. And you know, this is the answer I'll give. I think we have a very strong heart. So to your point, in terms of how we, the underlying, you know, vital signs, right? So I think our heart is being very, you know, very hard and very steady. It's a very strong heart, and I think you see that reflected when you see people, citizens, get so incredibly involved in what's happening in our nation. I think that's a sign that there's a lot of heart there. There's a lot of love for our country. I think clearly we're going through a time that I would, using your analogy, I would think of it as more as a passing virus or ailment that I'm not sure we've attacked some of the symptoms, right? So we're trying to figure out how do we do this or that, but we don't quite understand the underlying pathology of what's happening to our I may use this for a column tomorrow. This is really good. So I think the challenge we have is that we're trying to deal with these symptoms of, you know, cutting back expenses and doing this and doing that. But I think one of the things that we need to really think about as a nation, and I clearly talk about this in The Essential American, is that we need to understand where we came from because that is going to influence our future. And one of the things that I really lay out in this book is that all 25 documents and speeches show us that we are an exceptional nation. And I think that's kind of, we need to understand that to figure out the pathology of what's wrong with us. And I'll give you, and I'll be very clear, it's not that we're exceptional people because, like everybody else, I have many faults, many of which I find every day. So it's not that our people are any better than any other country's people. But it's that our nation was formed differently. Starting with the Declaration of Independence, it says that we believe our Creator gave us people rights within the loan to government. But I think we really need to understand how we're supposed to be built, how we were built, how we're supposed to operate from a pure internal standpoint, using your analogy of the doctor, and that then will get rid of the symptoms versus trying to treat all the symptoms individually and not saying the challenge that we have is that we need to understand that we are an exceptional nation. That means that with those rights, we have as individuals responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. I think we lost our responsibility and our desire to be responsible. And I think part of that comes with just the massive growth that we've had really since Ronald Reagan, and that's just a downfall of being successful. I mean, a lot of people, they become complacent. They don't seem to realize what they're doing anymore. Myself included, I've been very lucky. And sooner or later, you have to get either smacked across the face or you have to get checked, and I think
mm-hmm.
there's a little bit of a correction period. So I do want to hear you use that in my analogy in your interviews.
I really like it because I think a lot of times I think that was it's a great way to put it because we do treat – and I think, you know, this happens at doctor's offices too, right? You walk in with a few things wrong with you, and instead of spending a little more time figuring out, you know, how could you put all those things together and what might they mean, right? If you look at all three symptoms, they treat each symptom separately. So what you get is – you know, three different medicines as opposed to someone saying, you know what, I hate to tell you, but you really have to eat more, you know, vegetables and you have to exercise, okay? And I'm just telling
yeah.
you, you'd feel a whole lot better and you wouldn't need all three
simpler.
Of those things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the diagnosis is a lot simpler than we seem to understand and we seem to think or accept. With that being said, I have about 2 minutes left in our segment, but I know you have to go, and I do have a lot more I want to ask you, but before I get off on a tangent, I do want to bring you on again, obviously, to follow up on this, but I really appreciate you coming on again. Best of luck with your book. I know it's been out for a while, The Essential American. I encourage people to go buy it. You can get it on your website, JackieCushman.com, get it on Amazon, and get it on my site, and they will enjoy it.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for having me on, and I look for the column out Thursday.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
God bless you. Bye-bye.